All right. Well, it's good to be with you again tonight. It's always a privilege to minister to you on Monday nights, and I'm really expectant about the year 2008. How many here tonight believe that they are going to have a great 08? A great 08. All of us, God has got a wonderful plan for your life this year. He's got a purpose for you. He's got an assignment for you this year that only you can fulfill. And He loves you so very much. We've been doing this series on having a great 08. We've been studying this Bible personality called Ruth. How many here have heard of Ruth? Ruth. Let me give you a little bit of a historical background. There was this woman named Naomi. She and her husband Elimelech and their two sons were from Bethlehem. There was a famine in the land, so they decided to move to this country called Moab, which sits right to the east of Israel. So they're in Moab. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, dies. Her two sons marry women who are from Moab, Ruth and Orpah. After some time, her two sons die. So now Naomi is left a widow, and she is left without children. Without children. She had heard that God was providing food in Israel. So what did she do? She left the land of Moab and she said, you know, Ruth and Orpah, you stay in your country. You stay in Moab. I'm going back to Bethlehem. And they said, no, Naomi, we're going with you. She said, no, you guys stay in your land. So Orpah stayed. But Ruth was of a different spirit. She was of a different attitude. She was of the attitude of a new start, of new beginnings. And several weeks ago, we studied how she demonstrated that she was of the attitude of new beginnings. In Ruth 1:16, she says this to Naomi. Ruth says, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." You've got to understand that in Moab, they served a false god called Chemosh. So Ruth was basically saying to Naomi, "I am turning my back on that god, Chemosh. Naomi, I am making your God, the creator of heaven and earth, my God." In essence, Ruth was saying, "I am making God number one in my life." So friends, if we're to have a great 08, guess what? We have got to make God number one in our lives. How? By making His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life. The one in complete charge of every part of you. Last week we studied the second way that Ruth demonstrated that she was of the spirit of a new start. And that's found in Ruth chapter 2, verse 6. When Ruth had gone back to Bethlehem with Naomi, she ended up working in the fields of Boaz. And this is what it says, Ruth 2, verse 6. Back up to verse 5. Boaz asked the foreman of the harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather amongst the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." The second way that Ruth demonstrated that she was of the attitude of a new start was in her faithfulness. And faithfulness is this. It's a consistent steadiness to a course of action. It's like the second hand on the clock. It ticks consistently. 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day. If you are to accomplish this year the great things that God has for you, guess what? You have got to be like the second hand of that clock. You have got to be faithful and consistent. You'll have some tough times this year. You'll have some valley times, some low times. Are you going to quit when it gets tough? Or will you consistently tick away like the second hand of the clock? Now tonight, I'd like to talk about one of the most important ways that Ruth demonstrated that she was of the spirit of new beginnings, and it applies to us. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Ruth had enough of the old life in Moab. She was like, today, this time in my life is the time for new beginnings. And in Ruth 3, she demonstrates that, how she was of the spirit of a new start. Ruth 3, verse 1. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Verse 2. Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Verses 5 and 6, Ruth 3, 5 and 6. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. Verses 5 and 6. She did everything that Naomi asked her to do. What do we see about Ruth's heart from verses 5 and 6? Naomi, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. And she did it all. We see that Ruth was servant-hearted. She was servant-hearted. She was servant-hearted. What is a servant? A servant is one who serves another. A servant is one who is submitted to a greater authority. One who is surrendered to the authority of somebody else above them. We see from these verses that Ruth was what? She was servant-hearted. She was submitted to the authority of whom? Of Naomi, her mother-in-law, right? She was submitted. And you know what? I bet that she was glad she was submitted to Naomi's authority. Why? We see in Ruth 4 that she was greatly blessed. Guess what? Ruth ended up marrying Boaz. Boaz was a man of standing, a man of influence. He was a godly man. Not only that, but Ruth and Boaz had a son named Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. And guess who is in David's line? Jesus Christ. What greater blessing than to be in the line of Jesus Christ? To be a great, great, great grandparent of Jesus Christ, God the Son. But why? Why was Ruth blessed this way? Because she was servant-hearted. She was submitted to authority. Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, if we are to have a great 08, then we need to have a servant heart. Let's see what Jesus says about this. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Verses 26 through 28. Jesus talking on servanthood. Back up to verse 25. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, friends, think of it this way. Naomi and Ruth. Naomi, I believe, represents or is a symbol of Christ. Who does Ruth represent? She represents you and me. Just as Ruth was submitted to Naomi's authority, we have got to be submitted to the authority of Christ over our lives. We've got to be submitted to His Lordship over us. We've got to say, God, you are in full control of my life. Naomi is like a type of Christ. Ruth represents us. Just as Ruth was submitted to Naomi, we are to be submitted to God's authority, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about submission to God tonight for the next few minutes. Submission to God. What does submitting to God mean? What does it mean, submitting to God? Submitting to God means yielding yourself to His authority over your life. Submitting to God means yielding yourself to His authority over your life. Another word that you can use in place of submission is surrender. Surrender. What does surrender mean? You know, some people have this image of surrender, like, you know, they're caught by a cop, by a police officer. They surrender. They give up. They put their hands up. Some people have this image of quitting or giving up or resigning when they think of surrender. But that's not what surrender to God is, friends. What is surrender to God? It's offering yourself up completely to God's control over your life. And some of the material in this message comes from Rick Warren's book on the purpose-driven life, chapter 10. Surrender is completely offering your life up to God for God to have complete control over you. Now, tonight, the question is, why don't people completely surrender to God? And this may have been you at one time. It may be you tonight. Why don't people completely surrender to the authority of God and Jesus Christ over their lives? Number one is fear. Fear. You know, you may have been raised in a church. Maybe people were raised in a church where they were taught that God was out to punish them. God was out to get them. God was out to beat them. And so it created fear on the inside of them. But no, God loves you. God is out to do you good. He loves you so very much. The Bible clearly states the one thing that pleases God. It's faith. Hebrews 11:6 says what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists. And that God rewards those who diligently seek Him. Fear causes people not to surrender to the authority of God over their life. And if you're living in fear and you're in control of your own life, you may miss out on a lot in life. Let me read you this illustration that was sent to me by email several years ago. It's called The Rope. If you're living in fear, trying to control your own life and saying, God, I can't give you all of it, you may miss out on a whole lot. The rope, here it is. The night felt heavy in the heights of the mountain, and the man could not see anything. This was a mountain climber. All was black, zero visibility, and the moon and the stars were covered by the clouds. As he was climbing only a few feet away from the top of the mountain, he slipped and fell into the air, falling at a great speed. The climber can only see black spots as he went down and the terrible sensation of being sucked by gravity. He kept falling, and in those moments of great fear, it came to his mind all the good and bad episodes of his life. He was thinking about how close to death he was getting when all of a sudden he felt the rope tied to his waist pull him very hard. His body was hanging in the air. Only the rope was holding him. And in that moment of stillness, he had no other choice but to scream, "Help me, God!" All of a sudden, a deep voice coming a voice answered, "What do you want me to do? Save me, God! Do you really think I can save you? Of course I believe you can." The voice says, "Then cut the rope tied to your waist." There was a moment of silence. And the man decided to hold on to the rope with all of his strength. The rescue team tells the next day a climber was found dead and frozen, his body hanging from a rope, his hands tightly holding to it, only 10 feet away from the ground. Wow. and you? How attached are you to your rope? Will you let go? Don't ever doubt the things from God. You should never say He has forgotten or abandoned you. Don't think that He does not care for you. Remember, He's always holding you with His right hand. My goodness, this man was only 10 feet from the ground. Did he trust God? No. Why? Because he was full of
fear.
He was full of fear. He was in control of his own life. He couldn't surrender completely to God because he was afraid. And it caused him to lose out on a whole lot, right? He lost his life. Let's remember this mountain climber. Another reason that some people cannot surrender completely to the control of God is because of the age-old temptation of pride, of wanting to be like God. Remember, God told the woman in the garden, "You may eat of any tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." In the day that you eat of it. What did the serpent say? The serpent said, "You will not surely die. God knows that in the day that you eat of it, you will be like God." Pride, wanting to be like God. Being in control, wanting to play God over your own life, wanting to be in control. But what does humility say? Humility says, "God, I'm in your hands. You do with my life what you want to do with it." What does the Word of God say in James? That God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. So how do we submit to God with our lives? How do we submit to God? Number one, you've got to trust God. Know that God loves you. John wrote that perfect love casts out fear, right? Because fear has to do with punishment. God is not out to punish you. God is out to bless you. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. He's out to bless you. It's easy to trust somebody that you know loves you, right? So I'm here to tell you tonight that God loves you so very much. He's out to give you good things. He is the author of good. Jesus said it in Matthew 7:11. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your heavenly Father, the sinless one, give good gifts to those who ask Him?" He loves you. He's out to give you good so you can trust God with your life. As you begin to trust God, you begin to let go of control. And as you begin to let go of control, pride melts away. And friends, I'm preaching to myself tonight. Because there's times in my life where I've tried to be in control. And God has said it to me, "Jonathan, you let me take control. I've got the whole situation under my control." We can trust God that He is in control. The other way, the main way that we can submit to the authority of God is by doing what? Is by obeying God. What did Ruth say in Ruth 3, 5 and 6? She said to Naomi, "Whatever you tell me to do, that will I do." She was submitted. She was obedient to Naomi. I'm here to ask you tonight, what is God telling you to do in your prayer times? How many here have prayer times in the morning with God? You're just pouring out your heart to God. You're praying to God. "God, what do you want me to do in 2008? Pouring out your heart to God. And God is speaking. What is He telling you to do? Is he telling you to marry a certain person or not marry a certain person? Is He telling you to go to that school or not go to it? Is He telling you to leave this shelter and move elsewhere? Leave this town and move to another town? Is He telling you to take a certain educational path? Is God telling you to reconcile with a certain person? Is he telling you to say or write a certain thing to a certain someone? God is speaking. Are we listening? You know? Are we listening? Recently, I was in a situation where I felt like I was in full control. And when you have to be in full control of a situation, not surrender to God, it causes needless stress and anxiety. And God was just telling me a couple of weeks ago, Jonathan, just let me have it. Just let go and let God. It's in my hands. It's in his hands, friends. Just trust him. Just trust him. We all hear what God is saying, right, at different times. How many have heard God speaking to them about a certain thing? God is speaking. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to talk to you like your best friend talks to you. You can hear the voice of God. And that, hearing his voice, is winning the battle in receiving his best for your life. But acting on what God is saying is winning the war on receiving God's best for your life. It's having the victory in every area of your life. God is speaking. Will you obey? Will you have the spirit of Ruth? Whatever you tell me to do, God, I will do it. Or will you be in full control of your own life? To be fully surrendered to the control of God, you've got to obey what God is telling you to do. Look at Isaiah 1, verse 19. Isaiah 1, verse 19. And this is what the Word of God says. 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you are willing to hear the voice of God and obedient to do what God is telling you to do, you will eat from the best of the land. What is your land, friend? Is it finances? You're needing more finances? Health in your body? Peace in your emotions, reconciliation with somebody, joy in place of mourning. What is your land? How many want to eat the best of their land? You've got to be submitted and obedient to the voice of God. You have got to act upon what God is telling you to do. It's not enough just to hear. You've got to hear and then do. Let's turn to James 1 in closing. James 1. James chapter 1, talking about hearing and doing. James chapter 1, and this is what it says. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. How many here tonight looked at yourselves in the mirror this morning? Maybe some of us. We remember what we look like, right? It would be, James is saying, it's just crazy for you to see yourself in the mirror and forget immediately what you look like. And James says, we have even a better mirror than a physical mirror. It's called a word of God. And when you look into this mirror, don't forget to do what this mirror, the word of God, is telling you to do. Don't forget to do what it's telling you to do. Just as it's just crazy and absurd to forget what you look like after you look in a mirror, he's saying it's just as absurd to forget to do what the Word of God says to do after looking in it. Does that make sense? That makes sense tonight. All right. So God wants to bless you this year. You've got to be surrendered to his control by obeying what he's telling you to do, by trusting him. And guess what? Those who are surrendered to God, God does what? He uses them. Remember Ruth. He used her to be what? To be a great, great grandmother of Jesus. He used her to marry Boaz. To be in the line of Jesus. Remember Mary, the mother of Jesus. The angel came to her and said, you will bear a son and his name will be Jesus. And she's like, how can this be? I've never known a man intimately. And look at Luke 1, verse 38. Mary was surrendered. Luke 1, verse 38. And this is what she says. Luke 1, verse 38. She says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. God used Mary to bring Jesus Christ into this world as a baby. Why did he use her? Because she was submitted to God's authority. She was submitted and surrendered to the control of God over her life. "May it be to me, God, as you have said." She had a humble spirit. A humble spirit. And Jesus Christ is the one that God used most greatly. He said, "Not my will in the garden, but your will be done, God." He used his son Jesus Christ to do what? To die for the sins of the world so that we could be reconciled back to God. Amen? Why did he use Jesus Christ? Because Jesus was fully submitted to the authority of God. He was fully surrendered to the control of God the Father over his life, and he still is. And because Jesus was surrendered to God the Father, God used him to bring salvation into our lives. Amen? So how many here tonight want a great 08? Want God to do something great with their lives? You've got to have that servant heart like Ruth. You've got to be submitted and surrendered to the control of God in your life. You've got to trust God. He's out for your best. He's out to give you good things. He loves you. Let that pride melt away. Surrender to God. Obey what God is telling you to do this year. It's not enough just to hear, but you've got to act on what you hear from God. If you don't act on it, believe me, you will have missed opportunities, friends, this year. You may have had a challenging 07. You may have had a tough 2007. Could it be that maybe God was speaking and you were not obeying what he was telling you to do? 2008 has got to be different. You've got to resolve on the inside of you a New Year's resolution that, God, I am going to be your servant. I am servant-hearted. Whatever you tell me to do, God, I will do it. Just like Ruth said to Naomi in Ruth 3, 5 and 6. Amen? Amen. Friends, God loves you so very much. He wants to form a servant's heart on the inside of you. He wants the best for you. He wants you to have a great 08.